Well, that'll get you up in the morning. That's Bess Tannenbaum from Dunedin. She's part of the apprenticeship area, which is the blue tent up at the top of the hill. And she is the student of Sandy Keith. Thank you, Bess. She's studying traditional Scottish bagpipe. And if you want to learn more about that, come up and visit them up in the blue tent of the apprenticeship area. And now let's welcome Cousin Thelma and her helper, Bill Dudley. We'll get the program underway. Forgot one thing. We have a lost child. Jeremy Purvis from Bradenton is looking for his mother. He's sitting right up by the soundboard here by the stage. So Jeremy Purvis from Bradenton is looking for his mother.
Good morning. How many of you were here last night? Wasn't that a great program? Let's give it a hand. Oh, well, you know, that's the way with this folk festival. As we progress, it gets better and better. And I'm greatly impressed with the fact that this is the 35th annual Florida Festival. And I want you to keep in mind that the Florida Folk Festival is the largest, most prestigious, state-supported festival in the United States. Let's give that a hand. We have a few people, like Barbara and me, who've never missed a festival. We've been to every single solitary one of them and been highly involved, like to say. We've seen great changes, but being folk, it's essentially the same. And I hope that coming to the Florida Folk Festival will inspire you to go home and talk to the oldest member of your family and get her or him to sing the little ditties that he grew up with, the little rhymes, the little remedies, the family recipes, how to make chicken and dumplings, how to make hoe cake, wheat hoe cake on top of the stove. All those good things, don't let them pass out of your family. Keep them and treasure them. And the little lullabies that grandma and mama and little sister sang to keep the baby, put the baby to sleep. And how to make a sugar tit. I bet there's not a soul out in that audience who knows how to make a sugar tit, so I'm going to tell you. Take a little cold grits and a little clean, square, white rag, and put a little sugar and a little butter in there and tie it up. And when the baby begins to cry, just pop that in his mouth, and it's sure to make him hush crying. And it's nourishing, too. And I've seen my grandma make many a sugar tit. So remember that. Now, there's a lot to see and do and experience at the Florida Folk Festival. I want to tell you, over here under this tent, that our beautiful, beautiful program is being sold. Besides giving you information about what's going on everywhere, there's a real history of what it's all about. And you want to buy one and take it home, and certainly we need to sell them. And our artists who perform here year after year, some of them have tapes and some of them have records. And they are all for sale over there. You can get a 1987 35th Annual Florida Folk Festival sweatshirt. So don't buy them out. Go over there and see what's for sale. And over on this side are the craftsmen, and they're just some marvelous ones. And don't dare miss going down opposite the food shelter and see the Indian camp that Josie Billy, who is chairman of the Seminole Indian Tribal Council, and he's here, incidentally. And by the way, he's a Pickering singer and writes songs about his people. And he's the one who is instrumental in the famous bingo games that they play. And I want to tell you that it's worthwhile, because that money that is taken in from the bingo games goes right back to the Seminole Indian people. Josie Billy sees to that. He's responsible for that. We can't laud him enough. And Betty Mae Jumper is up the hill there, and go visit with Betty Mae, buy her wares, and importantly, talk to her, because you learn a lot. And the apprentice program is straight up there, the beautiful young lady. Somebody asked me that if girls ever played the bagpipes, and I had never seen one play until this lovely young lady performed. And she's an apprentice. And see the apprentice program. And importantly, this year, each year we focus on some phase of Florida folk life. And this year it's on maritime. And right straight up the hill there by what was Nellie Bly's kitchen, the maritime folks are holding forth there. And if you're lucky, I think they're frying and selling fish and crab, and maybe you can get a taste. And don't forget the victuals that are for sale down at the food shelter by the old marble stage. And while this program's going on here, there's a program going on down on the marble stage, and the gazebo down by the river, our Florida songwriters are holding forth. And over in the Azalea Garden, something's going on. And at 2 o'clock this afternoon, our famous storytelling is going on in the little auditorium in the administration building straight up the hill. One thing I've forgotten to tell you, which is really important, where the restrooms are. And there's a very nice restroom in the front of that auditorium building. And there are some just back of Nellie Bly's kitchen. And there are some down by the food shelter in the back of that little brick building there. And whatever you do, don't come up here thinking that you can use our overworked bathroom, because it's just one, and it's for our performers. And certainly our performers are tremendously important. Now, I wonder, Bill is... Oh, my goodness. And don't forget the watermelon. Watermelon right off the vine. 2 for a nickel and a 4 for a dime. Tom is right up there selling his wares, and goodness knows what all he has. And I'm mad with him because he hasn't brought me a little piece of watermelon. You better bring me a piece, or I'm not going to say a word about you. Well, anyway, is the Adams family here?
Could you tell a little story here for a short time? Let me talk a little bit about what's going on in other stages, and you think of maybe a little story you might want to tell.
Well, you mean I got to fill up time. Okay. Yeah, okay.
How many of y'all out there like to cook? One or two. I see a couple of hands there. We have demonstrations going on today up at the Maritime Folklife Center, which is sort of up the hill and across the meadow. And at 1 o'clock, Cindy Knowles will be telling you how to cook catfish stew. That sounds good, doesn't it? And at 2 o'clock, crab salad will be on the menu. you can just kind of stroll on over there and see how they do it. Yesterday, we watched them cook some unbelievable beef kind of concoction. Boy. They'll be showing you how to cook squid and crab rolls and smoked mullet dip also. That's up at the Maritime Folklife area, which is, look on your little maps there. It's just over here on the other side of the meadow. Well, Thelma, are you going to give us a little tale?
Well, I was talking to the folks out here about collecting receipts. I have two receipts in my family. You know, you didn't call them recipes. They called them receipts. My mother and her sisters never cooked out of a cookbook in their lives. Why, a cookbook just confused them. And we have two recipes that we guard jealously in the family. I've been making Japanese fruitcake from a receipt that was given to my mother back in 1912. She made it, and then it came, I always helped her, so then it became my job. And for over 50 years, I've made that receipt two or three times at Christmas time, and I make sure that my two living brothers and my two sisters have a family Japanese fruitcake lovingly made by me. Now, I'm telling the younger generation in my family that they better learn to make that Japanese fruitcake because I'm running out of steam. So I've got two nieces in Gainesville, and we make a date about the middle of December, and we get in Harriet's kitchen, and we make that marvelous, wonderful cake. It's not like any fruitcake you ever saw because it's made in layers, and one layer is plain, and the other layer is spiced with nuts and raisins in it, and it's put together with a glorious lemon filling and coconut and nuts, you just name it, and has hardly any calories in it. The important thing about it is that it freezes well, so we can make it ahead of time and freeze it and have it ready for the other members of the family. Then the other recipe is called fieldy noodle, and I'd never seen fieldy noodle written down. Had no idea how to spell it, but I decided I'd better write it down before it passed out of existence. It came from my father's side of the family. His grandmother, who raised him, Polly Bolton, her name was just a marvelous fieldy noodle maker. And it's made with collard greens. And even if you don't like collard greens, if you ate one of the fieldy noodles, you'd love that. Actually, it's an F-I-L-L-E-D, filled noodle. And you fill it with cooked, chopped collard greens, sautéed with a bunch of chopped up spring onions, some eggs broken into that, stirred up, that much of flour to hold it together, and a spoonful of that put in the middle of a square of dumpling dough, and you have a great big old flat bottom pot on the stove with either chicken broth or ham broth simmering, and you do those noodles up and drop them in that simmering broth and simmer them till the dough's ready. And oh, I'm telling you, they're so good till they'll just make you swallow your tongue. So you have recipes that you need to save in your family. And I don't want to be extravagant, but if somebody couldn't live without having the Japanese receipt, I might even share it with you. I've always given away my receipts because I know good and well when the maker looks at it, it's so complicated that they don't want to do it. They just want to have it. But I will share that with you. Everybody sing songs. Well, shoot, I can sing a song. Let me see. We were talking about watermelons, and one of my most favorite songs is the watermelon song. Oh, plant a watermelon on my grave and let the juice run through. Oh, plant a watermelon on my grave. That's all I ask of you. Now, the parson likes fried chicken, and it tastes mighty fine. But all I ask of you is a watermelon vine. So plant a watermelon on my grave and let the juice, and let the juice, and let the juice run through. And I know another one. I have a friend. He's gone to heaven now. But he said he was from Shagrag, Alabama. And he taught me this little song. Always remember and keep in mind that the old cow's tail hangs down behind. It may be ugly and full of cockleburrs, but the old cow loves it because it's hers. My grandmother would always recite little admonitions and proverbs to us. And she used to say, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And lie down with dogs, get up with fleas. I hear somebody out there quoting. That's good. I'm glad that you know them. And, of course, you know, don't count your eggs before they're hatched. You remember that? There are so many, and there are so many superstitions. When we came up yesterday morning, there was a ladder right out there where near the entrance, and you should have seen us walking around that ladder. None of us would walk under it because you know good as I do that it's bad luck to walk under a ladder. And you ladies who sew, remember that never to start a garment on Friday unless you can finish it that day. Because unless you can, it will never get finished. And it's bad luck to take a cutting instrument like an axe or a saw or something like that through the house. And it's bad luck to sweep out of the back door after sundown. And don't ever sweep under an unmarried woman's feet, because she'll be an old maid, sure as the devil. And here's a little rhyme that Mama used to say to us. Marry in green, you're ashamed to be seen. Marry in pink, your spirit will sink. Marry in brown, you'll live out of town. Marry in yellow, you chose the wrong fellow. Marry in black, you're sure to be back. Marry in blue, you're sure to be true. Marry in white, you've chosen right. So remember that. Ready?
I'm going to pick a couple of quick ones. And all right. Bring up.
All right.
Very big stuff.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, how are you doing all this morning? I'm Bill Dudley. I'm going to pick a couple of quick little tunes for you, and then we're going to bring out our first performer this morning, a young woman who came to the festival when she was young and stayed away for a couple of years and came back. We'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Anyway, play a couple of old finger-picking tunes to kind of start off this morning musically. First one is, well, I guess this is several hundred years old. I don't know. You might recognize this. Thank you. This is a modern tune. It was written for a movie, evidently, by a fellow named John D. Loudermilk. John D. Loudermilk had a bunch of big hit records back in the 1950s. He was one of those guys that nobody knew his name, but he wrote all these rock and roll tunes for different people. Anyway, this is a tune that I learned from, I think, Chet Atkins, but Doc Watson and a bunch of other fine guitarists also played it. It's called Windy and Warm, and it's a lot of fun to play. If you're into guitar, you might have already... might have experienced this song at one time or another, but it's just a real cute song, windy and warm.